May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in God's sight, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our daughter's mother-in-law has a small plaque on one of the bookshelves in her living room that reads, "Somewhere, someone is silently loving you." Probably just your mom, but still. I chuckle with delight every time I look at that plaque, because I know what an incredibly loving mother, mother-in-law, and grandmother Rhonda is. I can easily imagine her faithfully and silently holding her family in her heart and in her prayers across an endless span of time and distance. I was reminded of these words as I pored over our gospel lesson today. Although not silent, Jesus is holding the disciples in his heart as he prays for them, and he's holding everyone in his heart who will come to faith through them. He's not only transmitting love in the present moment to his disciples, but to countless generations yet to come. Years ago, I preached a sermon on this text, and one of our parishioners was blown away. I'd love to claim that it was because of my sermon, but it was not. It was actually because of the way she heard the scripture. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? That through the power of the Holy Spirit, a text that we may have read or studied countless times suddenly becomes alive in a new way, in a life-changing way. What this dear woman heard was that Jesus had been praying for her. She was one of those folks who had heard the good news of God's love 2,000 years ago because it had been transmitted through a long chain of disciples and teachers for whom Jesus was praying. In that hearing of the scripture, she experienced Jesus' unending presence and love for her and for all people that transcends time and space. Our gospel lesson is usually referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer because he prays as a high priest would, interceding for his disciples and for all believers. It's at the tail end of what we know as the farewell discourse, in which Jesus teaches the disciples that he's going to leave them, but he's sending them the Holy Spirit to comfort, companion, and guide them. He prays his high priestly prayer aloud in the presence of his disciples, so he is still teaching them, even as he lifts his concerns up to God. In John's gospel, these are the last words Jesus speaks before he leaves the upper room, crosses the Kidron Valley, and enters the Garden of Gethsemane, where, as we all know, his agony begins. If you're wondering why we're visiting the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane this many weeks after Easter, the lectionary, our prescribed set of readings that help us pretty much go through the whole Bible in 3 years, often includes the farewell discourse towards the end of the Easter season. It's a way of reminding us that Christ's presence and teachings are always with us, even after the resurrection and ascension. As we revisit Jesus' last hours with his disciples, we remember that his love, made manifest in the crucifixion and resurrection, is not linear, nor is it bound by time or space. Today, as we lament gun violence, I imagine Jesus keeping vigil with us at the foot of the cross, and with countless individuals and families whose lives have been shattered by an endless supply of weapons and a shameful lack of political will to address the situation. Did you know that in Ohio we have no assault weapon law? We have no requirements for gun registration, for owner licenses, for permits for concealed or open carry, for background checks, or duty to inform? We also have a stand your ground law, which has been the cause of many fatal shootings because people were often mistaken as intruders. I don't know about you, but I have to be very intentional. I have to work very hard to not numb out when I read or hear the stories of gun violence victims because I want to bear witness through this trauma, even though it feels unbearable. Meanwhile, far too many political leaders who should care about public safety have pledged their allegiance to power and money and have done nothing to stem the tide of terror and death. Gun violence, like so many of the other cruel political realities we are now facing on a daily, if not hourly, basis, seems so huge, and our efforts can feel so small. The Bible, both in the Hebrew scriptures and Christian scriptures, is full of genealogies, and we find ourselves in John's gospel in a bit of a genealogy ourselves. In the same way that my former parishioner imagined herself a descendant in faith from Jesus, can you look back? Can you look back several generations? Maybe more. Can you look back and think of the people who transmitted the love of God in Christ to you? Who encouraged you? Who taught you? Who loved you? Who prayed for you? Just take a moment and think about those people in that genealogy. A whole cast of characters live in my memory, some very gentle, some very bold and strong-willed. One person in particular stands out. My seminary chaplaincy supervisor at one of Yale's teaching hospitals. Reverend Dr. Bill Ball was a giant of a man with a booming voice, a razor-sharp mind, and an iron will. One day, that I will never forget, he took me to task when he noticed that I had been finding ways to avoid the terrible cases on the pediatric oncology unit to which I had been assigned. My coffee breaks had suddenly become too long, my trips to the bathroom too frequent, my administrative tasks too well done. I will never forget that conversation. He loudly and firmly confronted my sense of futility and hopelessness in the face of this ravaging disease. And he helped me to understand how powerfully we communicate God's love whenever we simply come alongside people who are suffering. He connected the dots of how the worst the world has to throw at us is nothing compared to Jesus' loving presence. I walked away from that conversation, still aware of my own frailty, still frustrated that I could not magically take away the scourge of childhood cancer, but deeply aware that God's power could do for me what I could not do for myself. The scourge of gun violence and the various dynamics that keep it in place are also too much for any single one of us to bear or to magically change. It's only through the power of the Spirit that we can keep vigil through the trauma, envision a world that is free from this epidemic and consistently speak up and act justly. It's only through Jesus' hope for our unity that we can stand firmly together against the powers of death that threaten to undo us all. Many, many thanks to Trinity's social justice mission team for creating today's opportunity for us to lament in the spirit of the prophets who lamented social injustice, and in the spirit of Jesus who grieved the hard hearts of too many of his hearers. Our grief is a declaration that this brokenness is not what the loving God we serve intends for humankind. It's an affirmation of the sacredness of the life God gives to all. And it can ultimately move us forward as we acknowledge our emptiness and powerlessness and turn our lives and wills over to God's care and guidance. Stay tuned, because I trust that in the months ahead, the Social Justice Mission Team will be calling everyone here to engage in activities that heighten our awareness, inform our actions, and continue to build community. Jesus prayed that we would be united so that the world would see and believe in God's love. As we work together and find our strength in numbers to actively renounce the powers of death, we're still in the flow of that very prayer. We're still in the flow of God's love for all people. The empty promises of thoughts and prayers offered by public servants who do nothing to address gun violence, or worse, pass laws that enable it, are infuriating. But I think they're also blasphemous. They deny the power of prayer to truly change people's hearts and minds and actions. They deny the living reality of Jesus' prayer that abides with us still, more than 2,000 years later. We know that prayer is so much more than a sentimental catchphrase. We know that Jesus has prayed and is praying for us to embody love and unity so that God's loving heart might be made known to the world. And we affirm that in the crucifixion and resurrection, we are constantly being transformed by a love that is stronger than death. Thanks be to God. Amen.